our beloved missionary to Argentina. And of course, he's out of Bethel, and we love him and his family. And he called, said he'd be in town. I said, we'd love to have you, Dana. Anytime he comes, we want him. Let's give him a great hand. He's going to share with us. We love you, Dana.
It's just a short time I'm going to be out, Pastor, but I guess I should go back by Jeannie Wilson Airlines. Huh? Didn't realize she can fly that fast. Maybe her van isn't really a van, it's an Airbus. Tonight, I'd like to just thank the Lord for his goodness to us and our work there in Argentina. Continue praying for us. You might have read in the prayer there that my daughter Esther was going to go to Bible school, but the last minute she had cold feet and stayed in Argentina. So pray for her. She's got some issues to deal with, but she's healthy and we're doing fine. And just thank you. The 1st of December, I'll be there 19 years.
19 years.
19 years.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, just thank the Lord for the opportunity. So many missionaries are having to go home because of health problems or because of sin problems, and we just want to be faithful, found faithful until the end, until the Lord brings us back to the States. It's so hard to get into a foreign country that I just don't see coming back to work in any Spanish work until the Lord finishes the work for us that we're doing. As you might have known, that we bought a building in 2003. It was an opportunity. It's $40,000. It was a good buy, and we were moving in. We have a lot of projects, and we have a lot of new people. Got some youth that are coming up and involved in the music, and we're trying to get them out and more into soul winning, and we're trying to grow. There's a great need for leadership in our church yet. We're having a lot of missionaries come in. We're supporting 10 missionaries, but just pray for the work there. We'd like to turn over to national work. American missionary is not well loved in around the world because of the fame. Around the world, the conservative values are not appreciated in foreign countries. Just about everybody's the other direction. And when they look at our country, they either love you or they hate you. And most of them hate us. And it's because of what's going on in different parts of the world. And we as Americans need to be praying for our country. Our country. More missionaries are coming back than going out. And I'm afraid for our country that one day that we'll be like England, needing missionaries sent here. Pray for your church. Pray for our country. It's a great need. And we as a congregation in Argentina, we are trying to be a part of the Great Commission sending out missionaries and eventually turn it over to a national. But at this time, it's just not ready, not mature. Our church is not mature like this church. It's maturing and advancing and growing. Our church is growing, but it's sometimes think it's just a toddler in diapers. But we're trying to shed the diapers and the toddling and getting busy on fire for the Lord. Pray for the work there and pray for Jewish souls and Gentile souls. I believe some of the advances that we have technology hurt the work. In Argentina, when we first got to Argentina, a telephone was out of the question. People in Argentina were waiting 10 years for a telephone. We waited like 2 years before we could buy one, a telephone line. Telephone line it is, for $1,050. We bought it, and we were happy to get a phone. Now that they've come down in price, you can get a telephone line for maybe 200 pesos, which is about $70, maybe even less. I haven't ordered one, but you can get cell phones, and you can go around the corner and get into a cyber cafe and get online, chat, do all the things that you can do in your own home. In fact, it's actually easier to get online out of your home than it is to go here in Argentina. I mean, from Argentina, go to Timberville or Ravenna or Garrettsville. You can't find a cyber cafe. You can't find a place where they rent for the hour to get online. It's the advance in that sense. But because with the technology also comes a lot of vices and a lot of sin and a lot of reasons people have excuses. Oh, I can't come to church. I have to pay for this or I have to pay for that. And materialism is a hindrance to the work. And I see Argentines are falling in that trap more and more so. Like Americans fall into it and get in debt. Argentines are now in that, getting that trap. And we as Christians need to be careful. We don't have fall into that. How much time do I have? Pastor, what time do you usually? Around 7 o'clock. Okay. Well, I'll try to hold you. I'll try to hold that. Well, we know we want to get home and all that. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 this evening. And it's a privilege to be back home after coming out of Argentina where we speak Spanish. And you feel like a fish out of water. But I feel right at home here at Bethel. I don't feel like a fish out of water. I feel it's good to see so many faces that I know. I know some new faces, which is good too. But it's good to see you online too. The other day I got online and I was opportunity to hear messages and see that you had a picnic out at the new field. And that's good. And it's good to see the work advance. And here in Luke chapter 10. Hopefully I'm preaching to you in English this evening, and not even though I do have my Spanish Bible with me and my English Bible. I feel I have to have both. I have to be prepared with a double two swords this evening. In Luke 10:35, we're going to talk a little bit. 10 and verse 30. And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us, Lord, as Christians, to have compassion on those who are fallen, those who cannot raise themselves up. And we ask that you help us, Lord, to be compassionate on those who are fallen in sin and distressed by the onslaught of the devil. We just ask that you be with us in this moment to hear your word, to apply it, and help this church to go a great while and in a great way, Lord, and help it in its building program and winning souls and outreach. Lord, continue the ministry to grow and to be a great testimony in Ravenna area and around the world on the website. We ask that you just bless the ministry here at Bethel. And we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, help us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we see the condition of a wounded man. Today, there are many people in the world that represent this wounded man. They are in predicament as a lost person. The world is full of lost people that are like this man. And around the world, people are in condition that they cannot heal themselves of their spiritual need. This man has had spiritual wounds. Besides his physical wounds, it represents the people in the world that are hurting to have Jesus. They don't have salvation. The world is wounded by sin. The world is fallen. It all happened, we know, when Adam and Eve sinned. And this condition is around the world now. And that's why God commanded to send missionaries out. And that's why we're commanded to work in our Jerusalem. And that's why this church is reaching out to people in Ravenna. And then that's why it's reaching out to beyond Ravenna and the Judea. And that's why it's reaching out to even farther yet, to Samaria, and sending missionaries to all the parts of the world. And I believe this church, his ministry, the sun never sets on Bethel Baptist, because we have missionaries in Asia,
right,
in Africa, and wherever.
We have 107 missionaries.
107 missionaries. It's important that the mission is the heartbeat of God. He came to save man.
Yes.
And you see in this man who fell into thieves, and Jesus was giving the example, who's your neighbor? And really, we should have compassion on our neighbor, whether it be your neighbor in front of your house or your neighbor that's overseas. You should have compassion. This man could not heal his wounds. We see in verse 34 it says, and he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The oil and wine were the medicine of the day. They didn't have these fancy medicines. And oil and wine were there to heal him and bind him up. And his wounds, he was left for half dead. Half dead means he was pretty bad off. And he couldn't raise up himself. He couldn't heal himself. He was there laying there without any kind of opportunity to do anything. And we, as Christians, have the opportunity to help others who are in conditions that they cannot help themselves because they don't have the great physician. I'm struggling with English, Pastor. I want to speak in Spanish. And it probably will come out something before I'm done today. But this man didn't have the great physician, and he could not heal himself. But we see here that the religion did not help. Religion is when man tries to do it his way, his rules and his regulations, and trying to work your way. You cannot get to heaven by works. You get to heaven by grace, an undeserved gift. You have to have faith and believe on Jesus. We see here that the religion of the Levite, verse 32, Levite were part of the group of people that were responsible for the ministry in the synagogue, but he passed by on the side. Didn't help. Religion didn't help. The priest also, in verse 31, came by. He didn't help. So there's two men that did not help. Could not help him. This man could not heal himself. So who had to help him? He was a Samaritan and bound up. He was one who had compassion. And we as Christians, we can't save people, but we can point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who can heal. We need to have compassion and take opportunities to reach out to people who are hurting. And we have gone through deep valleys. Some of you have gone through losses. Some of you have had such losses that you have been in great grief. The Lord is with you and helped you through these times of great loss and pain. And you've been there, you've done that, and you can help others who are in the same situation. Maybe some of you have gone through cancer, have had cancer, and you know what it's like. And you can help. Maybe others have gone through other losses and other painful things, loss of a loved one. You have been there. Lord has helped you. And maybe you're going through a time now. It's hard. We need to go to the Lord for help so we can help others. Here we see this man who could not raise up, could not bind his own wounds. And we as Christians today need to be helping others in this condition. Let's look to a verse in Romans 3:13. Destruction and misery are their ways. And that's what this man was in this Greek, in destruction and misery, because he did not have any way to heal himself. It says here in Romans 3:16, destruction and misery are in their ways. And we see the people that don't have Jesus, they try to do things, and destruction and misery are the result. Today, the world is trying to fill the empty void in their heart with things that will only bring destruction and misery in their life. The final end, they're trying to drown your troubles, try to drown your problems, is not by substance abuse, not by alcohol, because your troubles, we cannot drown our problems with alcohol and substance abuse, because our troubles know how to swim, and they'll just make it worse. You cannot avoid it. You need to understand that Jesus is the answer to our problems. And only He can convert the soul and change the situation. And some things, like Paul himself, he couldn't change the fact that he had a physical ailment, but he had the grace of God with him. And we have to just deal with some of our problems, and God's grace will abound in our lives. This man could not raise up himself. He could not heal, bind himself. And we as Christians need to be compassionate on those who are fallen. Isaiah 1:6 says, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the heel, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." It's talking about the sinfulness of the nation of Israel, but the sinfulness of Israel is not the only one who's got this putrefied sores and ailment. The world is in that situation today. We all, without Christ, are in a mess, unhealthy, spiritually. The heathen do not have the ability to heal themselves. The wounds that are sin that have brought their souls to death. And without Jesus, this problem will bring them to a condemnation of separation with God forever. We see from this man also, he could not hoist his own weight. This man has fallen. He could not lift himself up. He was fallen, and he was beyond being able to raise himself up. He was heavy in his loss. And we, as Christians, that lift people up out of their sin, out of their misery, out of their illness or whatever they have, we need to be there. We need to be praying. And like the pastor was praying for this young man who hurt his arm, we need to do what we can. Pray for them. Lift them up. Samaritan set him on his own beast. We need to be compassionate and help them. He set him on his beast. Well, we don't have beasts. I don't think anybody here has a beast, but we can bring them in and put them in our car. We can put them in a bus. Bring the people in to the church and let them hear who can heal. Jesus is the one who can heal. Let's look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul himself was one that saw that he could not do the things right himself. He was always struggling with the flesh. Paul, who wrote all these epistles that we use, the Word of God, he was one who also struggled with the sin problem in his own life. It's always a constant battle. But we know that he had the victory because there is no mention of him falling in sin and being disqualified and out of the race. Romans 5:6 says that we are without strength. 5:6. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were without Christ, we were ungodly. And God died for us to give us the strength to do and have the victory. Psalms 36:12. There are workers of iniquities fallen. They are cast down. They shall not be able to rise. Today there are many who are fallen and cannot rise up. And today in the Christian work, it's a sad thing many times when a Christian worker falls. Instead of being raised up and nurtured, a lot of times we finish them off. It's not right for a Christian to condemn and judge and stomp. And we need to be lifting up the workers and praying and bringing them to Christ and that he might return. It's a sad thing. The heathen cannot lift themselves up. It's a heavy thing when they're in a condition like this man was fallen. We also see that this man this person who's fallen to thieves could not hire his way. He couldn't pay. He couldn't pay for anybody to help him, take him to the inn. Let's go back to Luke 10. The Samaritan lifted him up and put him on his beast. And he took out some money and paid to help him get better. It says here, verse 35, that's the verse 34 and 35. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more. When I come, I will repay thee. It's important that we invest our monies, our energies to reach the lost. That they might be bound up. They might be prepared and made healthy spiritually. And today the world is in a disaster, is a mess. We know, I'm sure, Pastor, of many cases that people are in great need. And we need to invest our time and monies in doing the work that God has called us to do, to be eternal work, to care for the person. This man could not pay his own way. There is no way we can pay for our salvation. There's no way we can pay for the great work of grace. We should be thankful that others have helped us. I thank the Lord for my grandmother who pointed me to John 3:16 and pointed me to Jesus. It was through others who spoke to us about Jesus. How many of you were lifted up by a friend or a family member or someone else? It's important that we continue to follow through and be like this Samaritan man. Samaritan people were a despised people. They were half Jewish and half the other race, and they were despised, but yet God loves anyone who has Jesus in his heart, and this man had compassion. If we're Samaritan, half this and half that, or whatever we are, but if we have Jesus in our heart, God can give us a heart of compassion for souls. Young people, don't forget that you have classmates and people that are in conditions that are worse than your own. and you need to be remembering them. If you can't, if you don't have the nerve yet to be witnessing to them, pray for your classmates. Give them a track in their stick it in their book. I know when I first started out, Pastor, I was very timid. I was so timid when I was in high school that I would get sick when it was time for a speech. And if you were looking the prophecies you would give for Brother Carl McDaniels know who I was. I was just a timid boy, and when I served the Lord, I thought I would be a missionary prophet. I would never preach. You would never catch me behind a pulpit. I would get sick, and I was high school to give a speech. You could put down prophecy, least likely to be a preacher. Ain't a brochures. But here I am, and I'm not bragging about, I'm not a very good one, but I just thank the Lord that He's been able to use me in the way He has, and I hope that I can be faithful until the end. We need to have compassion for others. And you young people, I have a confession. We have youth in our church, and it's good to see all the youth here in the front. In the front. They say that there must not be Baptists here in the front seat. Are those Baptists up there? That's great. Most Baptist churches, you don't see people sitting in the front. They sit way in the back. But it's good to see the youth here in the front. And I thank the Lord for they have a good group of youth right up here in the front. This man who was fallen, he could not heal his own wounds. He could not hoist his own weight. He could not pay his way. They were poor. Like Jeremiah 5:4 says, surely these are poor. They are too. They are. Let's just look. I don't have quite the version on my copy here. Let's look in Jeremiah 5:4. Sometimes when you recopy things on the paper, it doesn't come out exactly like it's supposed to. So we don't want to misquote the scripture. Let's look in Jeremiah 5:4. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. The poor, those who are without Jesus are poor. And we do not have Christ. We have no way of paying the way. Poor, we're poor. The heathen cannot pay their sin debt. That's why we have to send missionaries, so that they can know that Jesus paid the price on the cross.
Yes.
He shed His blood.
Yes.
His body was broken. He was not crucified by mistake.
Right.
Jesus said, I give my life.
Yes.
That I may take it again freely.
Yes.
There's many today that have the wrong idea. The Catholic Church has taught that the Jewish people crucified Jesus. The other people think that the Roman soldiers were the ones that killed. And it's the government of Rome that killed Jesus. But Jesus offered Himself up a sacrifice, a payment for our sin.
Yes.
Paid the price so that we might have everlasting life.
Yes.
And we need to have compassion, like this Samaritan man had, on the lost. And we as Christians today should not just be satisfied to being fed by the Word of God on Sunday, but we should also be involved in coming out and visitation. I remember when I was here first at Bethel, first thing I got involved in the choir because I was too timid to go out and visit. Then I started going out with Brother Ed Wilson, Sr. There's a bunch of Wilsons here. There's a Jimmy Wilson Airline and Little Eddie. Little Eddie was kind of a Little Eddie back then, and I was with Brother Ed and Brother Carl McDaniels. We went out visiting, and then eventually I was able to start witnessing, and it was a step. It's a process of being of separated under sanctification. Sanctification, this means more that you're just separating yourself from the world, separate yourself to serve the Lord. And it's a process. You're not going to be instant. You're not going to be instantly changed, but you have to give yourself to be willing to let Jesus change your life. And He can do a great work in your life. And I thank the Lord for the ministry of Bethel Baptist in the days when I was a young boy, a young teenager coming here. And I know that He can work in your lives. If He worked in my life, He can work in your lives. If He worked in your pastor's life, He can work in your life. There's no one that God cannot work if they just let them do that. And we see the great need. This man was willing to help this man pay his way to know the great physician. He was one who lifted him up onto his animal, his beast, took him to where he needed to go to get his spiritual condition straightened out and his physical physical condition represents the spiritual condition, and he was one that helped him with his wounds. And we as Christians today need to be helping others. We need to be taking part, however we can, in every way we can, and be very, very involved in the great work that God has for you here at Bethel Baptist. Maybe he wants you to be somewhere else, and it's just a process. But right now, surrender to do what God wants to help others who are in great need. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you at this time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dana. God bless him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder this evening, is there someone you could think about right now that you could go to this week? Do you know someone that's not saved? Or do you know someone that's was saved but's out of church? Do you know someone that's maybe fallen by the wayside and you could be the Good Samaritan and help him back to restore his life? You'd be surprised how many people out there that need to be restored back if we would just have a concerned heart and a caring heart, and we'd reach out and try to help them. I pray that we'd always have that heart that we'd want to reach out to help others. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many could say, "Preacher, don't just raise your hand, only if the Lord would tell you to raise it. Preacher, I know someone that needs either Christ or needs to come back. And the Lord spoke to me, and this week I'm going to try to go out and reach to him. I'm going to try to help him back to Christ. Pray for me that I would be used of God." Who would say that? Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Oh, if we would just see as we go through life, there's so many, as Brother Dana just preached, there's so many fallen by the wayside. They're everywhere in the world. Everywhere we go, there's fallen people. And we just need to care. Heavenly Father, help us to care. Help us to reach out and help us to be the Good Samaritan that would help those that cannot help themselves. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.